This is CliffCentral.com.
What up, good people? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of the day it is.
You're listening to The Words, guys. Here we go. At a Clippers game on the court side. Watch a nigga shoot like a 4-5. Skr, skr. Skr, skr, still a thing. Skr, skr.
I think skr, skr evolves the same way the Saints language evolved. Like, it went from skr, skr to skr, skia.
So, are you telling me skr is going to be a classic? It's a classic ad lib.
Hell no. Dude, definitely not. It's not going to be up there with one.
What? The classic. What are the classic ad libs? Rick Ross is
Yeah, that'll live forever.
That's a definite classic ad lib.
But what, you know, can I tell you how Wiz's
laugh?
Yeah,
that
can
count
that.
Can I tell you how I know skr skr is going to live forever? It's because Jay-Z said a skr.
Wait,
Yes,
skr?
On DJ Khaled's song.
Oh yeah, he did.
I put the top of the Maybach. I see the popo behind me. I ain't gonna scout. Screw, screw.
Ah, it's a classic. It's a classic. It's official. You heard it here first on The Words, guys. Screw, screw is a classic ad lib. What up, world? Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to The Words, guys. Every download and every listen means so much to us. You don't even know. And yeah, we're glad to no longer be talking to nobody, because we becoming superstars. I don't know if you guys know, but we almost famous. We almost there. And it's all thanks to you guys. And you don't know how much it means for us to actually have people who are on the vision, because I must admit, we're quite out there, right?
Too much. We so far gone.
I to me, it's become normal now, though.
Yeah.
Like normality seems strange to me. I don't know if you feel the same, but that's actually what we're going to talk about today. Because, you know, we all have to work with each other at some point. We work with people that we don't know. Sometimes we work with people that we don't like. So we're just going to talk about how we deal with other people who are not the same as us. So we're talking about empathy. We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about self-improvement. I think one of the main reasons why people are shit is because they don't want to be better.
Complacency.
We settle for average. We settle for mediocre. And you know, we ain't about that in these worst guy streets. No, sir. So yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. Just dealing with other people and just being better. Just be better. It's just better. Like, there's no real explanation needed, right?
I don't know how you find it easier to be a Conte than to be a legitimate oak.
No, because it's hard work. Like, I think one of the main things that a lot of people don't realize is that emotional intelligence, actually being a good person, it takes a concerted effort.
Yeah, but I don't see how it can be hard work to be a good oak. Surely it's easier just to, because love comes naturally, you know what I'm saying? And love is what would be the root for being a good oak. Because you love yourself and you love your neighbor.
Yeah. But let's not forget that a lot of people don't understand love itself. You know, a lot of people are still denying that love is the only way that we can actually get to the world that we want to see. You know, we all want the same world. And it's just being bombarded with so much bullshit that we can't actually see that we have to change our way of thinking in order to get the world that we want, right? But that's why we're here with The Worst Guys. You can hit us up on social media at @_worstguys on Twitter, The Worst Guys on Instagram, one word, and The Worst Guys on Facebook. Let us know what you guys think about the topic at any point in time. If you're listening to this at home, you can tweet us and let us know how you feel about working with other people that you may not specifically like. I don't know. So John, do you work with anybody you don't like?
How do you deal with it? Jeez, man. At first, generally speaking, I don't know how to deal with it, but obviously you get better. You realize that, look, you are there for a particular reason. So if you've got a task at hand, whether you work with somebody that you don't like, you need to get the task done. So you block out all the crap and just basically focus on the task at hand. But in my experience, I started working with somebody that I didn't, that we didn't like each other mm-hmm. before we even started working together.
Male, female?
Male. So it's kind of like, wow.
Mm. Was it wow. was a testosterone kind of vibe going on?
Yeah, a bit of that and a bit Alpha of dog. Something else. Like, wow, okay, now we really have to work with each other. And we actually worked with each other for 2 years. It was unbelievable, man. We actually grew as people and we got over that. The initial problem that we had was kind of like, okay, we need to do what we got to do. And we worked with each other on a daily basis, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that we are friends right now. But I'm able to hit up the brother and be like, hey, man, you're all good. You know,
yeah, you guys are good. You guys
yeah, we're good.
Good.
There's no negative energy.
Into
I don't think I could go out for a beer with the chap, but we're on good ground, you know. So I think it's much easier to be positive than it is to be negative because it's just so draining.
Negativity is draining, man.
It really is draining, man, you know. And I was like, you know what? I'm here to do a particular job. He's here to do the exact same job that I'm doing. What's the point of having this biff?
Do you think it might have to do something or something to do with the fact that, you know, you're there for work, like you said, and you don't know that person outside of the context of work. So whatever they do in their job or whatever they perform is how you judge their entire character. But you don't even necessarily know that this guy hates this job or this guy doesn't give a shit about this job or whatever his reasons are for being what he is in the workspace. That's how you judge him. Yeah. You know, do you bond with your colleagues outside of the actual work environment? Is there anybody that you've made friends with outside of the actual workspace? This goes out to you as well, yeah.
No. In terms of my colleagues.
Yeah, so there's no one that you can be like, yo, let's grab a beer and be gone.
I could. Yeah. First of all, I don't drink.
A juice.
You know what I'm saying? Wow. Juice. Hey, you want to go grab some chills? Yeah.
Hey,
you got orange? No.
Hey, man, it's as honestly as arbitrary as going for popcorn.
Yeah.
So it's okay. You know?
So no. Well, I'd say there are one or two. But honestly speaking, like, if I must tell you the truth, I don't necessarily see myself being on the same level as anybody that I work with.
Yeah.
Because, for example, people will tell me that they're hard workers at work, but all they're doing is their normal 9-to-5.
So
after the 9-to-5 is done, they're done. They're like, yes, finally I can go rest.
What a hard day.
For me, it's different. For example, just an average Monday, it'll be either starting out with the training or finishing off with the training after work, and then we still have to do the comedy at Poppy's.
Tuesday is
another story. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Wednesday is the same thing. Thursday, we run our own show.
We're doing business.
Every single day, there's another hustle or another two hustles that still happen after my main hustle. Yeah. For them, it's just the one. So automatically, work ethic, we're not on the same page.
Yeah.
Number two, mentality. A lot of people are stuck in being complacent and caught up in the negative energy at work. Mm-hmm. So when I have shit happening outside and they see it on social media, because my social media is lit, and they see it on social media, why didn't you invite me?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I'll tell them straight up, look, B, we're not friends. We're colleagues.
I don't want you there.
Straight up.
Plus, your vibe is not on the same wavelength as mine. You know? So, yeah, that plays a role as well. Mm. So, I just to touch on what Zay said as well. I've got a handful of mates in work. Like literally, you know, gotten to know them to the past the point of the four walls that we work in, and that happened as a result of my particular interests. You know, we have aligned interests. Some of them
being. Like acting
art, you know, and just having a view that look, they feel as though I'm not supposed to be where I'm at right now, and I feel as though I'm not supposed to be where I'm at right now. I feel as though I'm supposed to be doing better, but I'm on the road. This is a journey, you get what I'm saying, and this is just one of the stops leading me to where I need to go.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, you know, pit stop, you know, fill up, whatever the case is. It's just kind of a means to an end. You know what I'm saying? That's how I feel about where I am, and I appreciate the people that I've met in that particular space that could have recognized and be like, okay, cool. And those are the people that are still my mates, you know. So, yeah.
Okay, so I think we've come to the meat of the conversation here when we start mentioning how different we are from the people that we work with, right? So we see a lot of complacency, like Riyab has just mentioned. And it's hard for people to accept that there are great people and great spirits when they are not like that. Mm. You know, just to, like, for example, I'm doing children's theater right now. And it's really cool. It's really dope. I'm learning. But I'm picking it up on my way to the bigger picture of being a comedian. But some people that I work with are in that space. They feel like they'll be in doing children's theater for their lives. So they feel smaller and therefore try to make me feel smaller. Mm. And I think that's something that happens in a lot of workspaces where people can see that you aren't the same as them. But they try to make you the same. Because you, technically speaking, you are the same as them. You're in the building. You know, technically speaking, I'm a children's theater actor. That's what I am. That's how I pay my bills. But like, that's not who I am.
On the surface level.
Yeah, on the surface level, but in the bigger scheme of things. And they can see that. Just take a look at my Instagram. You'll be like, oh, okay. So this guy's actually doing this for real, for real. Mm. You know, where they might just be doing it because there's nothing else to do. Mm. You know, so.
And I also feel like that's also where that separation comes from, where that negativity and hostility towards you or you yourself, John, is because they know that you don't need them.
Yeah, word up, word
but
up.
But they need you because of your experience, and they just don't want to lose you that fast. Mm. All right?
Yeah.
Not only just that, but because you don't need them and stuff like that, they know that this isn't the be all and end all. This isn't everything to you. So as you progress up the ladder, it's more frustrating for them to like, how's he progressing? But he doesn't need this. I need this.
Yeah.
That's the only thing they have. And that's why the hostility becomes
that's
so...
That's where it comes, yeah.
That's what I feel.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. It becomes a thing of, shit. To a certain extent, I understand why they act the way they do.
Yeah.
Because
if it was the only thing, you'd protect it with your life.
Yeah, for sure.
If you have one child,
for sure,
you protect that child with your life. If you have two children and one begs, at least get to this, second born.
Get to this speaking.
So look, but here's another point of view that I look at it. Like, maybe they're looking at us like, okay, we're being overly ambitious. And we, wait, hold on. And we are sitting here discussing everybody else in terms of being better. But I think that's a subjective thing to say.
Mm.
It really is, because we are very, very ambitious in what we want to do. And we have two or three jobs, gents, and we always want more. For somebody, for instance, who comes from nothing, or somebody who is doing what they do, maybe that's their dream. Maybe that's what they're doing.
Okay.
And obviously they can still progress in what they're doing. Just not to say they have to do two or three jobs or be like where we are right now. Because not everybody can be a CEO. Not everybody can be a starter. You get what I'm saying?
Okay. Okay. I like where this is going, because now we've actually got an argument here.
Yeah.
This is the whole thing that we're trying to address. Mediocrity. We are ambitious.
But up for them, maybe it's not mediocrity.
That's the thing. We all know there's a standard of life.
Yeah.
We may not have an actual guideline, a physical guideline, but you know somebody who's living a lit life and somebody who's not. And for them, it might be lived. Yeah, to me. But I can, you know, when you can see potential, you can't ignore that potential and say, oh, but you're doing well enough. Just leave it like that. You don't need to improve. You don't need to get better. And that's where people get stuck in mediocrity, because they've got the thing. I can pay rent. I have a job to go to every day, and I can do something fun every once in a while. But I don't think that's living a full life.
Mm.
And it's not my idea of a full life.
Mm.
It's the idea of a full life. Mm. One where you are the best version of yourself in every way possible.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So that's why we actually having conversations. It's like people do get into that space where it's where this is okay and I'm happy with what I have.
Mm.
But I don't think we should ever be happy with what we have. You know, there was that campaign that I think Nike did that.
Do more.
Kobe. Yeah, do more. Like Kanye West comes and is like, but I've sold Grammy award winning records. I've done all of this. What more do you want me to do, Kobe?
More records.
Sell more. Richard Branson. I've started an airline. I've started a book club. I've started all this shit. What must I do?
More.
You know, we are beings with infinite power to create, to become, to give. We have so much to offer. And I don't like that copping out and saying, I'm doing good enough. This is what my parents said is okay. If I get a job, if I have a car, and I'm I'm able to pay rent, I'm done with life. I don't think that's where life ends. I think you have to see within yourself that you have something to offer that nobody else can, and you have to tap into that in order to contribute to society, because ultimately that's what we're all here to do. You know, we're not here just to serve ourselves. You have something to offer people that we can't know unless you know it. You know, so that's why I'm saying it starts with it within. It starts from understanding that mediocrity is not okay. That's why I don't want people to get to that point of confidence saying, no, but I'm good. I've got a job. You know, I work. But what you are a special being. Do something special.
My thing also is, because you remember you were saying it's subjective. Maybe this person feels like this is what they want to do, right? If we have to make an example of where I'm working, right? It's nice to sell Louis V, but everybody would rather be buying it.
Of course.
Even the people that are working there that are at the highest level of selling, my G, you'd still rather be buying it. So when you see people walk in, my God, I've seen people walk in, pay cash, and I've counted my salary on the table. Spend my salary in less than 5 minutes flat from walking in and walking out. Do you get what I'm saying? So once I've witnessed that and seen that, no, man, there's more to it than just where I am right now. And you have other people telling you, you should try this, you should try that, you should do this, you should do that. That's another thing that brings about complacency among us. The people that you surround yourself with, they also contribute to that. If I wasn't in this friendship circle that I'm in right now, I wouldn't feel pressured to, you know, do better for myself.
Yeah.
If I was chilling only with the people I work with, I could tell you right now, in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, 15 years' time, I'd still be with LV. I'd probably maybe be in head office at some level.
And
you know?
People would think that's dope.
But
look,
look
at the potential that he has.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To actually influence the world. You know, there's so much more to us. And I think it also, the reason why I'm so adamant about self-improvement is it's that that quote by Mandela, not to be cheesy, but you know, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. And that holds people back. It's like, I could do this thing and it'll be mild, but is it really me, dog? Like, can it be? And then you figure out that, you know, you retreat in your comfort. You know, comfort is never a good thing.
Yeah. It's actually poisonous.
You should feel uncomfortable most of your life. That's what I believe, because you should always be growing, molding into something else, because that's what life is about. It's growth. Look around you. The earth is growth. Nature is growth. The way the planet moves, we're growing species. Do you know what I mean? And that's why it's so important to me. And on that note, I just wanted to, you know, maybe find out from you guys, What do you think is the driving factor behind your need to be better? You know, why do you want to improve yourselves, and how do you do that? Myself personally, it's time to myself, meditation. I don't know how you guys. I know you big into the gym, obviously rehab, but I genuinely do believe that everybody can do more. You know,
I'm with you there.
Yeah.
How I kind of tend to break away is a bit of both of what you guys do, a bit of the gym as well, and time spent away by myself. So reflecting is very, very important.
Yeah.
For everybody. Because for me, as you just said right now, that quote you just said just hit home, right?
Yeah.
Because generally, I feel as though sometimes I'm afraid of what I could accomplish. You know, and I get stuck in a place where I'm like, I'm too comfortable. And after, like, I'm just like, nah, man, you can do better. You are better than this, you know? So you just need to reflect and just look, whether it's a daily occurrence or you do it weekly, you know, you just need to look back and see, like, okay, this is what I've done. This is what I said I'd do, but I didn't do it. Or what needs to change for me to move from this point to another point? You know, it's like you said, it's very, very important for anybody to spend time away from all the noise and just kind of block everything out and see what they got to do so that they can say this, so they can do better. Is that?
Yeah. And then when it comes to goals, how do you set goals? How do you achieve goals? What do you write them down?
Yeah.
All your, and that's are they like, on your wall?
Or they're on my wall. Okay. I need to see them, bro, on a daily. I need to see them. I need to see, like, okay, cool. I said I would achieve this. I put a time. Yeah. As best as I possibly can. I put a time stamp or time frame as to when I'd like to achieve a particular goal.
Mm.
Be it short term or long term. And that helps because it helps you plan and work towards that. If you don't have a time attached to it, what the hell is the point? It's written, it's down, but, you know, there is no path. There's no direction in terms of set. They're like, okay, cool. It's just written there.
Yeah.
You know, there's no sense of urgency about you in terms of how you're going to work towards it, you know. So for me personally, I prefer writing my goals down and putting a time limit to them as best as I can.
Even a GPS gives you a time
estimation.
You know, it gives you, you know, written down, mapped out how you're going to do it, where you're going to travel.
Where you might find some traffic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Alternative routes, you know. But it still leads you to your destination and how long it might just take.
Yeah. And when it comes to goals also, I think people shouldn't get bogged down by not attaining them. You know, you set goals and sometimes goals are difficult to reach. You come through with obstacles. But having the goal and working towards it is more important than achieving it. Because if you carry on working towards it, it'll happen.
Dude,
your time is not always the time. Do you know what I mean? Mm.
You can't get the point on the basketball court if you don't shoot that shot.
Yeah. And shoot like you know you're going to score.
Yeah. Don't just shoot. Just be like, oh my gosh, let me just.
I have to shoot.
I want to shoot. Shoot to score.
Yeah. Guys, we are big things. We are human beings. We are gods. We are loved. We are made of the stars dust. Don't nyats yourself, dog. You are dope. Hella dope. Don't let anybody lie to you, B.
I am a mountain. I am a tall tree. Oh, I am a swift wind sweeping the country. I am a river. Feel it. I'm the world's greatest.
In the ring of life, I'll reign, love.
I will reign,
and the world will notice a king.
Oh yeah.
When it's darkness, I'll shine a light.
Shine a light.
And mirrors of success reflect in me.
Hey man, for real. When this guy's not on some bullshit, he actually makes some pretty good music.
He gave us the hits. I think we forgive him for a lot of his bullshit. you gave us I Believe I Can Fly, though. So what are you going to say?
Ignition, boy. You can't really say nothing about this man.
What if Ignition was the song he wrote for these young teens? Girl, please let me stick my key in your ignition, babe. I know you're only 13, but I can get it, babe.
Oh, boy.
I mean, like, it's not
it's not
something
far-fetched.
Exactly.
Man, R. Kelly got to chill. RJ pissing on people and shit,
the world's greatest, the world's greatest. Yeah, man, you are the world's greatest. And this is another thing. Listen to music. Listen to art. Rappers, singers, they are speaking directly to you. Sometimes we think that, like, music is this esoteric, special thing that happens on another universe or planet, and we're just listening to it for enjoyment, as opposed to the actual information that is being relayed to us by music. Listen to music, guys. Listen to what these people are saying, because they're living outside of the norm, right? And they're going beyond what they've been told they can do. And now they're telling you how they did it. They're telling you why you should do it. And you're busy singing there, jamming. And you just take it for granted. You know what I'm saying? And my life is a rap song right now. Me and all my niggas doing well, dog. You not from the city, I can tell, dog. You know what I mean? Like, those aren't just songs, man. People are trying to relay a message to you.
Mm.
So I hope you understand it. Anyway, yo, the show is running away with us like it always does. We're just going to get into a couple of news stories. Just, you know, we like to give you our opinion on what's happening in the streets. I don't know why I just become an Indian, bro. But, yeah, I think I'm working on my accents, bro. Because I see in this comedy game, as long as you got an accent, you can make them laugh. You don't even have to be funny, bro. You see what I mean, bro? Okay. So I think this is some good news. The Life ACT, many tragedies that have taken place. They are going to get paid by the government in a whopping 1.2 million rand.
Per person.
It's not enough.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's still, okay, there we go. This is what I like to hear. I like this guy. Yeah, I like hey, when John's in the studio.
No, but that's the thing. You really cannot put a price on a life. And the way these people were treated, man, is beyond
trash.
Dog. You know, to put it nicely, you know.
So what should we do though?
Well,
how much should it be? Okay, well, let me just do this quick. Okay, families of the mental patients treated cruelly by government must each receive payments of 20,000 for their funeral expenses, 180,000 for shock and psychology trauma, and 1 million in constitutional damages.
And that, you know what? John is that guy. John is that social bully who's gonna be like, he's spending the money while he's spending it. No, it's not enough. No.
I can't believe
you only gave me 1 million.
Why are you this person, bro? Listen to this guy.
The other bezel. Yeah.
I don't even know how to spell Rolex. What are you talking about, bro? I think, you know, I'm very happy that these people got some sort of justice and got compensated, but this should have never happened in the first place. And I revert back to this, like I said last week, with the whole Tiger Brands.
And there's another one happening now.
You know, this shit should not be happening. And you know,
yeah, people
have, yeah, man, people have died, you know. And I suppose this is the best that we can do, but the people need to, that are, this is obviously, they're being held
accountable.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Throw him in jail and chuck the key away.
Jail is a good one, but I personally think 1.2 million is good. I think it's a fair number. You can't put a number on a life. So even if I said I'm gonna give you 500 million, your 500 million ain't worth my life. I could be alive and make a billion. You know what I mean? So I just think in terms of fairness, they got it. 1 million in constitutional damages is pretty good. That's pretty decent. And the funeral is covered, and you still have 180,000 for other damages. I mean, I think it's fair. And I'm surprised because, you know, I think maybe it's because Cyril's in charge. You know, he's got that guap to spend. He's balling. He's out there in the union building. He's like, oh, ICT Manny wants some money. I hook them up. What do they want? EFT? Cash? He's the one that's coming out of his pocket, I'm telling you.
No, if he's chopping that money, then, hey, I got niggas that die too, Nami.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, also another thing that caught my attention over the last week is this whole Australia fast-tracking white South Africans' visas.
Let them go.
Yeah, Bon voyage.
Yeah, fire talk. You ain't even supposed to be.
What
the
is the plural form of Futek? Futekani.
Futekani. Listen, you know, we're a beautiful country, you know, with many different backgrounds, whatever the case is. But hey, man, if you want a shark,
yeah,
ain't nobody's trying to keep you here.
Me neither, dog.
Ain't nobody
go, boy, this guy. Cheers, bro. Oh. Because firstly, you're not in that much trouble. Like, there's your life is not a threat.
Good,
your life is good, way too
your
good.
Life that's, is way too
that's
good,
why this
bro.
Is happening. And I think white people have just become accustomed to it being so good.
Yeah.
Now that it's like normal life, they're like, what the fuck. People have been living like this all the time.
Dog.
Yeah, dog. And worse.
My nigga, we've been out here. And obviously, we know what this boils down to. Obviously, that's a discussion for an entirely different time.
Yeah.
But you know, if we had dealt with this,
if Madiba didn't sell us out.
If he didn't sell us out, we wouldn't be in this particular situation.
Like, the scary fact is that they want to run away now, all right? We've been here the whole time.
Through all the shit.
Oppressed. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And even still being oppressed with presidents of our own color.
We're too nice. That's the problem.
We're way too nice. Man. We're jokey and all of that.
No. I don't think we're too nice. I feel like our kindness is taken for weakness.
Shout out. Wow.
Yes.
That's the bar of the week. Our kindness is taken for weakness. Damn. Now that one hit home. So that's what's happening. Fuck it. If you're going to go. If you want to stay. And I know you're going to stay because you know you're living a super privileged life. You're going to go to Australia and be average. Yeah, you're living super. And even if they do expropriate the land, it probably has nothing to do with you. But fuck it. Go if you want to go, man. We love this country. I'm staying. And I hope I get your land when you shag.
You have any podcast?
We're invading the spaces. All right. That's that. And in some entertainment news, man, I'm so impressed with local entertainment at the moment. I went out to watch Catching Feelings this weekend. Yeah. They have to get a round of applause, man. Honestly, that movie is so dope. If you haven't seen it, please go and watch this movie. It's not a good South African movie. It's a goddamn good movie. Like, just full stop. It's so well written. There's political satire, but it's not preachy. There's real issues that, you know, relationships face, cheaters. It's real. It's raw. It's authentic, and it's new, and it's unseen. And they show Joburg in a light that I've never seen before. I've seen attempted before, but damn, man, Joburg looked so good and so classy. It looked like Beverly Hills, some 90210 shit, you know what I mean? So I'm really glad that we have a production that is of that caliber.
Yeah.
I also want to go see Nceba if they fucking finally...
No, it's back.
Is it back?
It's back in circuit, yeah.
Cool.
What's the rating on it?
Is it a porno rating still?
No, I think it might be 18.
They challenged
sure.
that. Yeah,
they challenged
yeah.
it, yeah. They had to challenge it, bro. Yeah. Come on, man.
And there's also this new one, Five Fingers of Masai.
I've got to
go watch that. I'm so happy with where the arts and entertainment is in South Africa at the moment. Yeah. It's really, really in such a good space. You know what I mean? So I'm glad to be a part of it because it means we are in the circle that's going to blow. I genuinely do believe this. And hear me when I say this because it's going to happen and then people are going to remember this. If we do not capitalize on what we have in South Africa when it comes to entertainment, when it comes to producing shows and supporting those acts because they need money to carry on creating, right? We're going to lose it to America because you see all these guys are coming to South Africa to check it out. Boy, David Beckham, boy, all these guys. The colonizers, they came to check it out first. Then they went back. They told their boys, like, yo, guys, it's a hoot in South Africa. Then they're like, go back. Go get spices, my boy, and bring them. So this is what they're doing now. They're coming to check it out. They're going to go back and be like, guys, there's so much happening in South Africa. They're not doing jack shit about it. Let's go set up Warner Brothers there. Let's go set up, you know, Universal there. Then they're going to start taking our stories, making them hella dope. We're still going to give in to them because we're suckers like that. And we're going to lose out. And then we're going to say, these people just come to our country, use our actors, use our resources, and they don't give us credit. But we're not doing the thing. And when we do the thing...
We don't support.
Feelings, we don't support.
But not even that, dog. We can take it back to last year with that movie that bombed out. That should have never bombed out at the movie. Kalushi. Wow.
Yeah.
Dog. Wow. About the story about Solomon Mahlangu, dog.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Bombed.
Yo, it should have never bombed.
You see what
it
I mean? Should
have never.
And that deters artists from making good projects because they feel like they're going in for a loss. Going in, there'll be a loss. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So please, guys, go watch that movie. Not just to support local, but because it's a damn good movie. And we don't want to lose our creatives that are really doing well for us. Because when they leave, we're going to be like, oh, no, he abandoned us. He betrayed us.
He sold out.
But look at you now. You're not supporting. Yeah. So, yeah, that's my opinion on that mad dope movie. And there's more to come. Anyway, that's it from us, man. We've had such a dope conversation chatting with you guys. Final thoughts on being better?
Me, myself, and I. For myself, look, the only way you can be better is to surround yourself with positive energy and the people around you. Make sure that they're on the same wavelength as you. Because if you aren't able to challenge yourself personally, you know, within your own capacity, that's fine. That's you're human. But if you're surrounded by somebody who is forcing you, you know, to be better, challenging you to be better. You can only become better. You become great by association.
Yeah. I want all of us to be great, man. You see, that's the reason behind this conversation. People might misunderstand it or mistake it as people think we think we're better than people or something. That's not the case. We see greatness in ourselves and I see greatness in others because it can't be in me and not in you. That's not possible. So I just want that for everybody. Everybody.
I feel you.
Yeah.
It's possible.
My only thing about it, I'd say, is back yourself. Confidence is key, dog. You can do the dumbest shit. If you're confident in it, you're lit. Okpa Gangnam style. Whoop. Dog, just be confident and be yourself. Obviously, authenticity is key. But honestly, confidence. People will buy it. They have to, because people are so afraid of themselves. When they see confidence in others, it overwhelms them. It's like, oh shit, here's somebody who believes in himself, you know? And people love to see that. So back yourself. You are dope. I promise you, you're dope. You wouldn't be here if not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From my side, never be comfortable.
Cool.
You know, just touching on what she's, never ever be comfortable. Like you said, Mark, 90% of the time of your life, you shouldn't be comfortable.
Yeah, so yeah.
Open yourself up to new experiences. Even yet, open up yourself to new people, better people, people that are better than you, that are smarter than you,
and let go of the ones more, that are holding you
that
back.
That are holding you back. Mm. Never be comfortable, bro. You know, step out of your circle and experience and smell the fresh air, my brother. My
that point that you just raised, it reminded me of that, if you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong
you're
room.
You're in the wrong room, yeah. And it's spot on, bro. Shouldn't be that guy.
We hope you've enjoyed the show, man. Please download, share, let the people catch on to the vision, man. We are here for you. So please, let your people know. Anyway, we've got something hot happening this week.
What's happening, bro?
Fire.
We've got another one. Another show happening at Giovanni's Pain Vino in Four Ways, 173 Main Road. Stand-up comedy stylings from the likes of Sky Gibson.
Woo!
Ria Bitsa Sesele.
Fire!
Host, Mark Mdluli. Mm-hmm. And Simba, the comedian.
Yeah.
That is a blazing lineup, yo. It's another one. It's happening on Thursday in Four Ways, 173 Main Road. Come one, come all. $50 gets you in. And yeah, it's mad dope. There's food, there's drinks as well if you want to eat. Make a date. We'll get you laid, brah. That's how the comedy ting works, yeah?
Trust. So last week, there was a chick who has a boyfriend who has a size 12 foot, and she was drinking Jameson. And I said to her, you see, you are Rihanna, you're a bad girl. Right now, you are letting that Jameson sink in so that you can get that 12, size 12,
size 12
foot tonight.
She has to be able to take the pain, you know, it's an anesthetic. All righty. So please do come to the show. It's happening every Thursday. If you can't catch this one, catch the next one.
Do it.
As you know, we're going to wrap up with a worst guy cypher.
Yeah. And obviously I'm not going to be involved in this
one. No, dog, I'm the hype man. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
All right, but don't leave them out though.
I'm going to pull in.
He's going to drop some ad-libs for us, but you know what we do? We do the worst guy cypher every single week, bringing you the hottest, dopest, fresh tunes that we make up right on the spot.
Yeah. It's Cliff Central and Worst Guys, baby. I got Mark Mdluli, Jungle Money, and of course it's me, R-E-H-A to the B, Ria Bezwe, Sicily.
Let's do it, yo.
Do it like the worst guys. We ain't never been in no disguise. We just getting high in the sky. Hey, smack the marijuana, we the fly guys. We on Cliff Central. Everybody knows that we make him go mental. With the conversation, we are demonstrating how to move the nation together. Come on, let's formulate the way that we can act together in a better place, in a better race. I'm not talking about racism. I'm talking about people being complacent. And you need to stop that shit. You need to realize that we are better than it. Hey, realize that we are so much greatness. Hey, realize you're an image of God. And if you're an image of God, you're a God in your own self. Hey, said you were God in your own self.
He said that.
Hey, said you were God in your own self.
He never lied.
Said you were God in your own self.
That's right.
Welcome, Julie.
You were God in your own self.
Taking the church. Hey.
Said you were God in your own self.
That's right.
Own self.
I mean, people don't even see their own worth.
Own
they
worth.
They dirt, but that ain't true.
Nope.
I mean, just come through. I mean, we know what
come
you do.
Through.
I mean, your mind is so influential. You got potential. Tell people they gotta leave you. Do your thing, bro. Because
you.
They are not like you, and you are also not
never.
Like
never.
Any other
never.
Dude. So you gotta search inside. It's within you. I mean, sit down and meditate. What do you do? Reflect, to do your best, to be better than yesterday. I mean, you should probably never forget to pray. Cause I mean, everybody wanna be the best. I mean, Everybody's scared they're gonna get tested, but they might just win. Don't forget about the losers, because they out here. You gotta beat them in the cruisers.
Don't forget about the losers, the abusers. Everybody knows that the abusers are the real misusers of the narcotics, and they wanna make weed a narcotic, but that's so idiotic. Please just stop it, cause I'm smoking all this weed, I'm smoking all these trees. I'm elevating so I can closer to G.O.D. Like I said, it got put the plan on the earth, so I'ma get my worth from the plan that God put on earth.
Oh, Heavenly Pappy did the business. We all gonna be alright, just trust your instincts. You got the flow, you got the flow, you got the juice. You are the squeeze, don't doubt yourself, you got the shit.
You got the squeeze.
Break it down for a second. I'ma take it to the people. I'm trying to make them realize.
Tell them
that we are the worst guys. We Young Cliff Central.
What he said.
You better remember.
That's right.
We Young Cliff Central from Wednesday, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m.
We got the squeeze.
We are the juice as well, and the squeeze. We are the juice.
We got the squeeze. We got the squeeze.
That's the worst guys. And that's the worst guys.
The OJ. That's who we are. The juice and the squeeze.
We still nigga though.
The juice and the squeeze.
Yeah. Wake up. We out. It's been so much fun hanging out with you guys.
Yeah,
download the podcast, listen to it, share it. You know what it is.
Thank you very much, y'all.
Worst.
This is CliffCentral.com.